Well, I hope you feel the same way after I give you this challenge this morning. Somebody saw me this morning with a microphone. He said, "Oh, you're going to read my mail again." I said, "Well, the Lord's been reading mine for a couple of weeks, and I'm going to share. And chances are your mail looks a lot like mine." Okay? So are you ready for him to just dabble in your heart and let you know if anything needs to be changed or adjusted? Because he won't do it without your okay. You know that. Okay. Well, Lord, you heard us all, and we mean it. We love you. Thank you that you want to dabble in our hearts. Thank you that you care so much about everything we do. Thank you. And you're so fantastically big, and we're so minute, and you care. Wow. So, Lord, have your way. We give this all to you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Well, Pastor Mike's been talking for the past year and a half, probably, about what's going on in the world today, the position of the church, and revival. And we've been praying, asking the Lord, praying, seeking the Lord for revival. I want to just ask you. You can just shout out one word answers, not paragraphs, okay? What does revival mean to you? Just right off the top of your head. What's it mean?
Freedom.
Renewal.
Freedom.
Renewal. Awakening.
Bring in someone to the Lord.
Thank you. Unity. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? Wow. New life. Okay. The gospel. Oh, fire. Fire. We need the fire of the Holy Spirit. And in some areas, we need it rekindled. Obviously, we got some fire going here. Obviously. And that's good. But the Lord's got so, so much more. So to start this, would you show that little video? This is just 3 minutes. I think you probably all know who Mario Murillo is. And this is something that's happened in New York with one of his meetings, and I just want you to see this.
What just happened in New York, we've got a video. I want to play that, and then I want you to talk about how key of an event that leadership summit. Look at this, Mario in New York.
I say arise. I say arise, stand to your feet. Army of God, stand to your feet. Let the bones, let the dry bones come together. Let the dry bones come together. Amen. Give glory to God. Give glory to God. And let's welcome Mario Murillo.
So here are the points that we need to rehearse in this lecture today. Your church is essential. Your local church is God's secret weapon to save America. Are you ready to take up your mantle to do it? Many of you have heard the stories of what God is doing in California. And our latest crusade in Sacramento was our greatest, in which a man who fell on rebar, a construction worker, lost 90% of the use of his lungs, was instantaneously healed by the power of God. And all of his lung was restored. We are watching many dramatic healings of cancer, paralysis, creative miracles, that are verified by doctors. And I'm going to talk to you about that for a moment. And I want you to know that I'm going to open my heart to you, that I am not a Bible Belt preacher. I don't preach well in the Bible Belt. I have to be where the communists are. And to the pastor who is afraid to confront wokeness right now, to the pastor who is reticent to speak out against immorality in marriage and in race and in all of the forms that it is taking. Because what? I'm going to lose members. I'm going to lose my church. If the Democrat Party is allowed to do what it wants, you will not have a church at all. You see, no one is going to save America except the church. No. I'm gonna try that one again. No one is going to save America but the church.
Mark? Mario, that was new.
That's us. We've got a big responsibility.
Amen.
Do we need a revival here?
Yes.
We do. Our city, our state, even our church. Can we get more fired up?
Yes.
Absolutely. You know, there's been lots and lots of revivals. And I just Googled it this morning. In 1973, there was a revival in Massachusetts, and over, 1,100 people in a town, 1/3 of that people in that town got born again in one night. Then there was one in the early 1800s where 100,000 were converted in New York in one year. 100,000. And then during the Civil War, 300,000 soldiers were converted of North and South just because they were going through stuff and there was a revival. You know, going through stuff has been good for the church. Let's see. There was another one, the Welsh Revival, that over 1 million people were converted. And this was in the early 1900s. And then Azusa Street in California. Many, 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 many people got born again and had major miracles. And the charismatic renewal that happened here in the 60s and 70s was really birthed from Azusa Street. I'm a product of that. I had no idea I was part of any kind of a revival when I was, it was just like, I went to a prayer meeting and I met the presence of God. I never, ever met it before. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and my life changed. And of course, I told everybody that that breathed and looked at me about Jesus. You did that too. Okay. So let me ask you, what the Lord asked me. He said, I want you to go read Revelations chapter 2. Now you Bible scholars probably already know what's there. This is the angel speaking to the church of Ephesus. And the church of Ephesus was fairly good. They were doing a lot of things, They persevered, they had patience, they labored in the name of the Lord. And then he said, but I have this against you. You've left your first love. And I said, Lord, why did you send me here? I don't know if you have these kind of conversations with him, but
I love you. Actually, I love you more today than I did way back then because I know more about you. So he said, well, what were you like back then when we first fell in love? Yeah, think about it. Take yourself back to when you were smitten with Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, couldn't keep your mouth shut. If anybody said, how are you? They heard about something about Jesus. People came to the Lord. They got saved. They got baptized. Maybe not right there that moment by you, but you planted seeds wherever. I mean, you were like a Johnny Appleseed. You were a Holy Ghost seed spreader. To everybody. And he said, do you still do that? No. I said, well, actually, no, I'm preaching to the choir now. He said, what about all the rest? It made me think of Ifoma's class on evangelism. She challenged me every time I was in there. And he said, if you truly love me, if you really love me the way you say you love me, you will love what I love. I came for the lost. Are you doing anything about it? You know, and I was raised in church, and I know what you did to for the lost. You wrote a check to some missionary and let them go do the work. We do that a lot here. We support lots of different works. But the Lord pointed all his fingers at me. What are you doing? Do you intentionally look for opportunities the way you used to? I said, no, I'm too busy. He said, then you are too busy. Then you are too busy. Are you doing something you're not supposed to be doing? Are you doing something you don't have to do? Are you doing something just because it's become your life, but it's not directed by the Holy Spirit? And I said, well, chances are if we're having this conversation, I guess so. You know, he asked me lots of questions. And you got to be suspicious when the God of the universe, who knows everything about everything, is asking you questions, because he wants you to think about what he's asking you. So he said, what part do you have in this revival? Well, there's no point in lying to him. No point. I said, not much. I think it would be great. What have I done? Not much. Have you prayed for it? A little. Has it been out of your heart? No, sir. So I'm here to confess. Because James says, if I confess my sins to y'all, I'll be forgiven and be healed. And I need that part of me healed so that I get out off my blessed assurance. Set down all those things that are distractions and do what he called me to do. And maybe I'm taking this more seriously because I looked in the mirror the other day and I'm not a kid anymore. Yeah, there. I see some other people here that aren't kids anymore either. How much time do we have? I mean, nobody knows how many tomorrows you have. We don't. But with what's going on in the world, and when we pray for a revival, and we decide we're going to love Jesus the way he wants to be loved, we're going to go out and be his feet and be his hands, whether it's given somebody at the corner $5 and telling them about Jesus, or you have more specific divine appointments. I remember a couple weeks ago when Pastor Mike shared a testimony of somebody that prayed before they went into Costco for an opportunity, a divine opportunity. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. If I pray before I go into Costco, Lord, let me get my stuff and let me get out of the and get out of the parking lot without getting hit or run over. I don't think about all those people out there. Do any of them know Jesus? I have to admit, I don't think about that. I'm on a mission. And it's not his mission. It's my mission. If we're going to have revival and be part of it, we got to get on his mission.
Amen.
That was kind of a gentle slap, right? You know, that's how he deals with me. He asks me questions that makes me think about where I'm at, what I'm doing, what my heart motive is or isn't. Is it on track with what he wants? Or am I afraid? Am I afraid of vaccinations? Am I afraid of persecution? I read about some missionaries in Afghanistan who were offered a ride out, a free ride out while the getting was still good. They turned it down. They said, no, we're going to stay because this is our opportunity. We're going to go knock on doors and we know we probably won't live through this. Are you willing to do that? Am I? Pause and think about that. It's your life. Do I love him? Is he my first love? Do I love him for who he really is? Is that the one that really lives inside of me? When I said I give him my life, did I mean it? All to Jesus I surrender. You know, I think we got to do that daily as he shows us more stuff that's not surrendered. Oh, what about that? He digs around in the corner of your heart and says, oh, look, I see a boat back there. You've kind of given yourself to that boat. You want to surrender? I see a person back there. I think they're ahead of me. He wants nobody ahead of him. Nobody. He's number one. He's the king. Don't let anybody take his place. Ever. Ever. We got to be willing to separate from mother and father and brother and sister and children and friends and put him first. You know, it inspires me to read about other people that have done that. My husband and I both just finished a little book called Hiding in the Light, I think is the name of it. It's a fast read because it is so interesting. This young Muslim girl met the presence of the Lord when she was just a little kid, and she said, I want whatever that is. I want to meet that again. And eventually, she got to the place where she met Jesus and surrendered her life. It wasn't too long after that her dad was threatening to kill her because she wouldn't deny Jesus. At 16 years old, on her own, in a country that she wasn't that familiar with, she left home, ran away so she could worship Jesus. Went through all kinds of tests and trials. And if you ever want to be inspired, read her book. Her name is, I think, Rifka, R-I-F-Q-A, Barry, B-A-R-Y. Sweet, precious, precious relationship with Jesus. The kind that you read and you go, oh God, I want that. Look what she paid. She paid everything. She left her little brothers. She left her mom. She's still alive today. She's in her late 20s, I think. She went through all kinds of things. What a testimony. You can't read something like that and not get encouraged, and not get inspired, and not get pressed to move closer to him. You see, he never moves. We move away. We move sideways. We glance back at him. Yep, still there. Okay, let's go. No, it's the opposite. He goes, we follow, and we stick close and keep our focus and keep our focus and keep our focus all the time. We look at the news more than we look at the word often. Bill Johnson said this week, I read, anyone who puts more input from the mainstream media than from the Word of God, their discouragement and fear is self-induced. No sympathy there. We do it to ourselves. So what if you've done it to yourself and now you don't want to do it to yourself, but you got all this yuck that got planted in your head? Man, that's a time for prayer. Repentance. Lord, I probably read things, watched things I don't need to. You didn't lead me to, but I did it anyway because I want to know what's going on. Forgive me. I repent. I will not pick up another piece of news. I will not watch another report of what the negative that's going on unless you tell me to. You know, we are so moved by what we see, and some of it's true and some of it is not true. Some of it is evil and some of it's probably more evil than what we even see. He'll take care of getting you the information you need when you need it. I'm sure you all remember back in the book of Numbers where Israel decided that they were at Canaan. Big sign. Ooh, we're here. Promised land. Well, we want to go see what the enemy's like. We want to go see these people we have to conquer. We want to see what it's like. It wasn't God's idea. They went and asked him and he went, hey, y'all do what you want to do anyway. So they did. They spent 40 days looking at the giants, looking at their weapons, looking at how little they were. They said, we look like grasshoppers in our own sight. I picked one up when I was walking the other day. I thought he was alive when I was going to pet him, but he was dead. But he's only that big. Can you imagine how I looked to him if he had been alive? Maybe I scared him to death. I don't know. So they come back, great men of faith in God. They come back from looking at the enemy's camp, which is what we've been doing on the news, and they felt like grasshoppers. We have to be careful. Be careful. Those things are written in the Old Testament there for us to learn from. We could learn from that one today, couldn't we? Just in case you haven't read that in a while, that's in Numbers chapter 12, 13, and 14. It's very interesting when you look at what they did and what it cost them. It cost them 40 years in the desert, and they did not get to see the fulfillment of the promises their children did, but they didn't. Consider the cost. Staying in revival costs. Actually, that's the title of this, the cost of revival. Are you willing to pay? Turn to Matthew chapter 14. This, what's happening right now, is a storm. You got to admit, it's a storm. It's swept across our country. It's all over the world. There's storms in the natural. There's storms in the spiritual. When we come to storms in our life, whether they are suddenly there's a storm, or you've got warnings, storm warnings, and there's a storm, they always show you where you're at. They show you how prepared you are. They show you if you're full of fear or you're full of faith. That's what storms do. So Matthew chapter 14. Jesus had a bad, he wasn't having the best time. His cousin John had just been beheaded. And Herod was out to get him. So it said that they buried the body of John, and then verse 13, when Jesus heard of it, he departed by boat to a deserted place by himself. What do? When you're having a bad day, get on the phone, text somebody, watch some videos, play some video games, watch something that'll make you laugh, call somebody. He's our example. He was fully man. He had to be hurting inside because his cousin had just been killed, beheaded. The same as what's happening all over the world today. He wanted to go be with his dad. But the multitudes heard it and they followed him. So he went and he saw the great multitude. He was moved with compassion. I want to encourage all of us, pay attention when you feel that compassion for somebody else come up in your heart. Pay attention. Ask the Lord what he'd like you to do with that. Chances are there's something. And he healed. And then they were hungry. And now he's going to cook. He fed 5,000 people. He's still tired from dealing with the loss of a cousin, and he didn't get to go spend time with his father. And now he just healed all their sick and fed 5,000. Now, we feed 100 people here on a food fellowship day. It's a lot of work. He fed 5,000. Yeah, he had 12 guys to help him. Yeah, that's not enough. So now, they're all done. They've eaten. They got plenty of food left over. And he said to his disciples, get in the boat and go to the other side. He was probably going, please, just leave me alone. I got to go be alone with my dad. I need to get restored. And it said in verse 23, he went away by himself to pray, and he was alone. He had to be going, Dad, let me tell you what happened. I'm so tired. I know John's with you, but my goodness, I loved him. I took care of those people that were sick, and I fed him, but I'm shot. He was human, you know. He was a man. He got tired. I can't imagine that day. And so it says here that the disciples are out in the boat, and there's a storm. And they see Jesus walking toward them. His father must have said, your guys are in trouble. Go take a walk and save them. They were afraid of sinking. And then they saw the Jesus walking, and now they're scared because there's a ghost. And he said, be of cheer. Don't be afraid. It's me. And Peter, I love Peter. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. And Jesus says, come. He says that to us in the midst of our storm here in Michigan, in your job, in your family. He said, come. I see your storm. You come to me. Where is he? He's walking on top of it. It doesn't have him defeated at all. And if we keep our focus on him, we can be like Peter and walk on top of it with him. If we don't stay focused on him and we let our focus go back to what's happening in the world, we'll be just like Peter. Help! And of course, Jesus reached right down and picked him up. Keep your focus. The storm is testing you and showing you where you're at. If you see that your faith, man, I just don't have the faith I thought I had, then get in the Word and get it. Do it. You can do it. If you're fearless, praise God. Help somebody who's fearful. But don't lose your focus. There's another storm coming. Don't lose your focus. There's more stuff coming. We need a revival. Spiritually. Will that save America from all this junk? I don't think so, but I don't know for sure. But I really don't think so. But when they were Mario was talking in the video about saving America, I do believe he meant salvation. The people, so many people here are lost. Do we? You know, sometimes I think we watch too many movies. You know, the bad guy gets it, and we go, "Hey, Tom Cruise is still okay, and he shot all the bad guys. Yay! All the bad guys went to hell." We've rejoiced. The cowboys shooting at the cowboys. You're all happy when the bad cowboy gets shot. You know, what has our TV and our entertainment done and warped in our head? So we can look at some of the people out there doing evil right now, what God would call evil, and they lose their life. We don't mourn. Jesus does. See, revival would change our heart. We need our heart changed. We need heart surgery. Open heart surgery. No anesthetic. We got to know what's going on. It's going to hurt good. I always feel so much better after the Lord's done surgery and taking junk out and putting good stuff in. It's not fun while it's happening, but it's like, oh, Lord, thank you. You love me enough to not let me keep living stupid. Oh, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. Stay, do what you have to do to stay in faith. He who faints in the day of adversity, his strength is small. I remember the day the Lord quickened that to me. It was when I just found out, I saw the x-ray from my first husband. I saw the lung all filled with cancer. And I felt like my knees were, I'm looking at the x-ray and the doctor standing there. And my knees wanted to buckle, and I thought, I'd really like to pass out now. And all of a sudden, he who faints in the day of adversity, his strength is small. And I went, whoa, that's not me, because my strength is the Lord. He's my rock. He's my strength. He's my fortress. He's my stronghold. I can do this. And you know, when you speak the right thing, it does something inside and gets you back on track. You've got to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and stop looking to everybody else to doing it for you. I'm sorry if that's too hard on you. But we're each going to stand before him by ourselves. And we're not going to be able to say, you know that teacher I listened to? Jesus, you know that teacher I listened to on TV? He's kind of cute and had that charisma going for him. I sent him a lot of money, you know that? He taught me that stuff that you're telling me now. It's wrong. Who's responsible? Me. Me. You. Luke 14, verse 26. This is from the Amplified. counting the cost. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father, mother, in the sense of indifference to or relative disregard for them in comparison with the attitude toward God, and likewise his wife, children, brothers, and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Cannot. Anytime I allow something to become more important to me than following Jesus, I have walked out of my disciple shoes. I am not walking and living like a disciple. Anytime I do that. Let that sink in a minute. We do it, don't we? He's pretty clear. Luke 14, now verse 33. Any of you who does not forsake, renounce, surrender, give up claim to, say goodbye to, all of those things cannot be my disciple. You can be saved, but a disciple is a pupil, it's a learner, it's somebody that's following him, that endeavors to be like his master. Luke 14:35. He who has ears to hear all this, let him hear. It doesn't just mean you got two ears, one on each side of your head, just like me. So you got ears to hear. That's not what he means. He said, if you have the heart to hear, that you want to understand what he has to say, that you gain understanding, and then you got to go do it. Because to understand it and not do it, I really haven't heard. That's why James says, don't be a hearer of the word only. You have to be a doer. Because if I only hear and I don't do, read James, I have deceived myself. There is nobody so stupid as somebody who will deceive themselves. Nothing so foolish as self-deception. Amen. Amen. And there's usually some point in time where we look at the truth and go, you know, I'm not going to go quite that far with it. We are on the path of deceiving ourselves. It's our choice. So for the past couple weeks, I'd go in my office in the morning and see if Jesus, you're sitting there yet? You got more questions for me? Is it safe to come in? We going to do some more work on me? He goes, yes, but I love you. I'm doing it because I love you, and I'm doing it because I love everybody that doesn't know me. So I said, okay, I'm guilty. Guilty as charged. So what do you do when he tells you you're guilty? You can feel bad. You can say, oh man, I'm so sorry, God, I'm so sorry. And mostly what we mean is we're so sorry we got caught. Because we were doing life good without getting caught. But he loves us so much. Yeah, be sorry. Next step is repent. Repentance is a precious gift the Lord gives us. It is when we are walking this way and we run smack dab into the truth that we're going the wrong way and we say, okay, now I'm going to go this way. Now I'm going to tell you, it takes a while to adjust your thinking and your heart from going in if you've been lazy and just not doing it and not taking the witnessing thing seriously, it you got to work on you. And it's not going to all be a miracle. It's not going to be he's going to lay super duper on you and you're going to wake up and go, woohoo, yes, let's go get him. No, it's working on your heart. You are responsible for your heart. Just I'm sorry just doesn't cut it. So repentance is, Lord, I don't know how to change me. I don't know how to do it. I've been doing it wrong for so long. How? I want to only love the way you love. And I can't work that up. And I can't fake it. I'll be silly to fake it because you'd read right through it. Help me. You have the Holy Spirit. You do. He's your helper. If you don't utilize your helper, well, then you're out there on your own. Utilize your helper, Holy Spirit, help me. Help me see the lost, how lost they are. Instead of being happy when the bad guy gets it, help me to be the one that gets to the bad guy right before he gets it and says, Jesus loves you, at least something. Let me see people how you see people. Because we don't. We're so surfacey. We see so surface. Everybody today walked in here with a big smile on their face. Does that mean everything's going right in everybody's life? I don't think so. And I'm not saying you're faking it, but I can look at it and say, see, everybody's okay. Look, life is good. They got the hat on. They got the Life is Good hat or t-shirt. Yeah, I'm cool. So maybe you're not at a place in your life where you can go out and share the gospel. For whatever reason, maybe you're physically are not able to right now. You can pray to the Lord of the harvest that he sends forth laborers. You can pray that their hearts be opened, that the Holy Spirit leads every person to the right person and gives them the right word to speak. None of us can say that we can't do something. And we don't get off the hook by saying it anyway. Now, I want to end this here with reading from Jude. And I'm going to read from the Amplified, as it is amazing how clearly it talks about today. I'm going to start with verse 17. Jude, verse 17. The Lord gave me this one to say, this is your picture. You can put yourself, plug yourself right in here. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions which were made by the apostles, the special messengers of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed. They told you beforehand, in the last days, in the end time, today, there will be scoffers, those who seek to gratify their own unholy desires, following after their own ungodly passions. It is these who are agitators, setting up distinctions and causing divisions. They're merely sensual creatures, carnal, worldly minded, devoid of the Holy Spirit, and destitute of any higher spiritual life. But you, beloved, build yourself up, founded on your most holy faith. Make progress. Rise like an edifice higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. You see the power of praying in the Holy Spirit? You see what it does? It builds your faith for facing these times. Can you diddle majesty? Thank you. Praying in the Holy Ghost is a power tool that most of us don't have plugged into our battery. That we need to, not just when we come to church. Guard and keep yourself in the love of God. You know, you can't go out to a world that's lost and dying, that is not looking lovable, and love them if you don't understand God's love for you. You've got to keep yourself in the love of God. Whatever scriptures, just really, man, you read it and something happens in your heart and you know that you know that you know that you know that God loves you, meditate on it. Meditate on it. If you don't have one of those scriptures, ask the Lord for one. Don't ask somebody else. Ask Him. He knows what's going to trip your trigger. Keep yourself in the love of God. Expect and patiently wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, which will bring you unto eternal life. You know, there's another verse in the Bible that says that we should be longing to see His appearance. I used to read that and go, not yet. I'm not ready. Not yet, please. Not yet. Well, that was before I really understood who He was. Longing for Him. And refute so as to convict some who dispute with you, and on some have mercy who waver in doubt. You need the Holy Spirit to know you're to be a voice of a voice that's going to convict somebody, or a voice that is going to show mercy right then. How are you going to know which one is which? You're going to follow the Holy Spirit. Strive to save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on others take pity, but with fear, loathing even the garment spotted by the flesh and polluted by their sensuality. Don't get involved in what they're doing, but have pity and compassion on them. And don't go, oh, I know what you're into. Oh, can't talk to you. You know, Jesus talked to everybody. But as we have built ourselves in our most holy faith, and as we have kept ourselves in the love of God, we can talk to anybody, and He'll give us a way to do it. Now, to Him who is able to keep you without stumbling. So many have wondered, am I going to make it throughout this time of testing? He is able to keep you without stumbling or slipping or falling, and to present you unblemished, blameless, faultless before the presence of the glory of His glory in triumphant joy and exaltation with unspeakable ecstatic delight. Wow! To the one only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, splendor, majesty, might, and dominion, and power, and authority, before all time, and now, and forever, to the end of the ages. Wow! Wow! He is majesty. He is majestic. Can you trust Him with your heart? Does anybody else need to repent? Was I the only bad guy here, not doing what I'm supposed to do? Now's the time. Now's the time. If you leave here today without doing it and the Holy Spirit is convicting you, you might miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. If you're born again and filled with the Spirit, you know you're only happy when you're doing what He wants you to. So you might as well repent and get on with praying for revival, believing for it, but get yourself revived. You are responsible for stirring yourself up. Nobody else is. And keeping yourself stirred. We got a big responsibility here, people. Okay. Want to stand up? Let's pray. If this has been convicting to you and you need time with the Lord, you can come up here and pray. We got 4 rooms on the side. You can go pray. It's between you and Him. I know He will meet you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for that you love us so much to let us not keep going in our own strength. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for reviving us, for convicting us individually. And Lord, I thank you for the great outpouring that's coming that we get to be part of. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. And I speak your blessings of conviction, repentance, and restoration on every single person here, that we will totally together rise up and be the church you've called us to be, to help this area of our country come to know you. Thank you. And we don't know how far it's going to go from here. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be dismissed. You may stay and pray. Thank you, Lord.